Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is off to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and by some miracle, both my co-hosts are already on the line. I cannot believe it. So we'll go with Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Calling from you from a rainy, rainy Seattle, Washington. You won't believe it. It's raining here.
Doesn't it rain like every day?
Some days, but summers are beautiful here. I'll just leave it at that.
If you say so. And we got our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture, besides not much?
Let's get the show on the road.
All right, well, let's get the show on the road then. Actually, it's probably been a few months since we've had to do this, but unfortunately we're back to having or starting the show off on a very sad note this week, and that is the unfortunate passing of one Larry Sweeney, and I gotta say, this totally sucks.
Yeah, that's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, that's like, I haven't heard too much from Larry too much since Houston. You know, I've only heard his name over here or there, but I'll never forget the impression that he made in Houston. You know, what are your thoughts on the whole situation, Craig?
Unfortunately, the only time I ever got to meet the man was in Houston, and it was at his worst. In fact, we'll talk to Brian in a few minutes here. Brian was upset that I couldn't have met him when he was at his best instead of when he was at his worst.
Well, here's the question I have for you, dude, because, okay, he was dressed kind of whacked out, you know, there's no denying that, but
mm-hmm.
He was a very nice dude to me. I enjoyed meeting him, and I got along with him. I know he was off his medication at the time, but to say he was at his worst, I don't know.
He was completely all over the road when he was talking, just in and out of conversations. He had said that his get-up was inspired by the Wrestler, the movie. And, he was nice, don't get me wrong, but he was completely loopy. And apparently when he's on his meds, he's a lot better.
To describe what he was wearing is he was basically wearing, he had one of those old-fashioned vests like Mork from Mork and Mindy used to wear,
mm-hmm.
like a real colorful heavy vest in the springtime in the hot Texas weather.
he was wearing an awesome police t-shirt. you know, yeah, like underneath the band.
And then, wrapped around his waist, he had a very bright green windbreaker that was exactly like the windbreaker out of The Wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
I do notice we are already getting a call here, so I'll go ahead and put the caller on the line. Caller, calling from area code 206, is it?
What's happening?
What's going on, Brian?
Hey. Why do you have to give away my area code like that?
So
it's
that
pretty
you
common
know
knowledge.
Who we're talking to when I'm trying to pick, you know, let the caller
Rather we
get on the line.
The other numbers that are on the screen here?
These 9,999,999 combinations people can mess with to try to call me.
Mm-hmm.
8568. Oh.
Well, I could give the rest of the number if I wanted to. You know, it starts with an 8.
That's right.
So how was, I think Craig just told me you were at kickboxing class. How was kickboxing class?
Yeah, it's fun. Kicked a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Like what?
Kicked a lot of boxes, you know?
Yeah.
That's good times.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is something new.
I don't know how interesting you can make attending a kickboxing class.
If you're constantly kicking the shit out of Junior Horseman, I'm sure that would be fun.
Well, unfortunately, he was not there.
Oh.
But hopefully I'll be kicking at Admin Nail soon.
So without Junior Horseman being there, did they have anyone who was your height that you could spar with?
There are plenty of them, Ed. Not everyone is fat.
Don't talk about Craig like that.
I might get my feelings hurt. Was this your idea or was this your wife's idea?
Was it my wife's idea for me to take kickboxing?
Yeah.
Why would it be my wife's idea?
Kickboxing sounds like something a girl would do.
Kickboxing?
Yes.
So, you know, you put on gloves and fucking headgear and you just kick the shit out of people and that's like a girl sport. This ain't fucking baseball.
Okay. No, really. Whose idea was this?
Craig, it's my idea.
Oh, okay. I was just asking. That's an honest question.
I've been doing martial arts for most of my life, but I know kickboxing is a shocking change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and?
And I consider pro wrestling a martial art.
Okay. Fair enough.
You might be
Don't
the only
get
one.
On with this.
Well, anyway, we were talking about meeting Larry Sweeney in Houston, and Craig was talking about that. Basically, he unfortunately had got to meet Larry when Larry was at his worst. Now, you've met Larry when he was not at his worst, Brian. Can you tell us the difference between the Larry we met in Houston and the Larry you met in Portage and the other times you were up with him?
Can I explain the difference?
Yeah, I mean, was there a difference?
Well, one was completely out of his mind, and one was like a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know any other way to say it. I mean, but one was not, off of his meds.
What? Out of all the guys that have passed away that you've known over the years, do you think this one hits closest to home?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably Adam Firestorm. You know?
Okay.
Or I don't know. There's a long list of people. I don't know who mentioned it. Somebody emailed me, and they were just like, what did they say? They said, man, between Canyon, Adam Firestorm, and Larry Sweeney in like the last 2 years, it must have been rough. And I was like, I hadn't even, I didn't even think about it until they mentioned that thing. It seems to happen regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good.
Well,
but out of all the guys,
it's been a while. It actually seemed like it's been a while since something like really bad had happened. I can't even think if it was. I guess.
And a firestorm killed himself like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long ago. I know, like, didn't one of the Backstreet Boys, that wasn't he, like, the last one to die recently? Trent Acid.
Backstreet Boys?
Trent Acid.
Oh, I thought the Backseat. I thought you were talking about the band.
Oh, no.
Yes, Trent Acid passed away recently as well.
So. Okay, who's calling?
I think that's Brian.
Blog Talk Radio is just the battleground of.
That was right on cue.
Hey,
right on
Brian,
cue.
Brian, you might have to call right back in or something because we really got it down.
Unacceptable.
Everyone's blaming my phone?
You're the only one that's coming in and out.
Cutting in and out.
So back here on the Google Live.
I'm still buying some radio equipment.
You got drive-through? Here on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Okay, well, we hung up, so please call me right back in. But,
yeah, right, amazingly, the noise horrible. Is no longer there, so, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. And you're trying to blame Block Talk?
I blame Sports Byline.
Watch. It's unbelievable.
And watch
Sports Byline app on his phone.
He's mad and he's not going to call back in.
He'll call back in. Oh, goodness. On cue. Unbelievable. So anyway, we're talking about Sweeney.
I got a text from Stevie saying that he was coming out really quiet and there was a lot of static. So even the listeners know it was his mind and not ours. But anyway, let's talk about, Brian brought up Adam Firestorm. Did you know Adam personally, Craig?
Yeah, I knew Adam. We'd actually, I met Adam, oh gosh, I can't even think of the date, but it was actually before we actually started wrestling. Like, we actually started wrestling about the same time, and we were trading tapes back and forth. He was just up the road in Surrey. And Surrey, BC, and we would just trade videotapes back and forth. He would get Japanese stuff, and I would get pretty much all of the ECW events. And we just traded tapes back and forth, and would talk on the phone. And Brian had set up his Brian used to have a.
Speaking of which, Craig, I don't mean to cut you off real quick, but
sure.
I am getting another caller. So, caller calling from area code 425. Is it?
That's Brian again.
It's me.
Hey, how's it going?
You sound much better now.
I'm calling from a T1 line.
So anyway, as I was saying, Brian used to
this show,
have this.
Craig, this show.
Hey.
Holy God, we're trying to talk a serious situation here, and Blog Talk Radio is just killing me.
Right.
It's your phone, not Block Talk Radio. It's your phone.
Somebody that works
for
Sports Byline is paying all of this.
My phone responsible for four men talking all over each other and awkward pauses?
Well, we're having awkward pauses because you were coming in and out and we couldn't understand everything you were saying.
Oh, my God. All right, let's try this again.
Okay. Well, we had actually changed the subject a little bit to Adam Firestorm, who was a member of your website who passed away not too long ago. What could you tell us about Adam for the people who didn't know Adam?
I feel like the worst guest in the entire world. Can we make fun of Impact for a while and then we'll get into a serious subject?
we're the worst,
yeah.
Though, so it's right
I'm
in.
I'm so pissed off about Blog Talk Radio that I can't even think about any serious subjects right now. I gotta talk about something and get some anger out of my system before I can talk about serious situations.
Okay, well, I got a subject that you might actually be surprised that I'm actually going to agree with you, or surprised that I'm actually going to say this, but where does Melina get off thinking she can fucking snub Trish Stratus? Who the fuck she thinks she is to fucking snub Trish Stratus?
Good thing I haven't talked about this for years, Ed.
Well, what that whole situation where, okay, there are her and John Morrison are twittering or whatever, and they're snubbing Trish because they feel that Melina was slighted in her WrestleMania match. How could they even think she would be even in the match when she's not even a fucking babyface at the moment?
I don't know, Ed. I try to not think about how these crazy people think.
Well, there's so many crazy people. There's so many crazy people in the wrestling business. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that Melina's crazy, and Morrison is dating her, which I don't know.
Makes for incredible sex.
That sounds pretty crazy right there. So none of this really surprises me, I guess.
Uh-huh.
These people should all know better.
The what?
I said, did you watch Impact last night?
Did I?
Oh, yeah. I know you did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was horrid.
It was pretty bad.
You know, I don't even have to watch the show, but just like watching a car crash happen, I just feel that I need to keep up to date with what's going on.
I'm thinking of doing a segment on the Brian Vinny Show next week where Vinny and I review a Blog Talk radio program.
What are you trying to say? Well, why do you keep ragging on my show for?
Well, honestly, some of us don't have the forum that you do, Brian, so we make do with what we can.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what are we going to talk about here?
Well, we were going to talk about Larry Queen, but you kind of shot us down.
I needed to shoot you down for a little while. We'll get back to the somber topics here in a moment. What's going on in your life, Ed? Let me interview you for a while.
There we go.
Okay.
What's going on in your life?
Just saving every goddamn penny I make for the next 5 or 6 weeks for Vegas. Because,
well, that's
Vegas
good.
Be,
weren't you going to go investigate some haunted places for the show?
Yeah, I've actually done a little like research on them. I haven't been able to go out to them yet, but yeah, whenever you want to talk about that, I'm ready for it. We got these famous haunted tracks that on Halloween, there's like a line that's like miles down of people who want to be pushed over these tracks by these ghosts. Kind of a trick.
Ghosts push them across the train tracks?
Yeah.
Sounds
and
absurd.
Do they die? Do they get hit by the train?
Well, supposedly there was a bus that got hit by a train and all the little kids died. That's the story.
Mm.
So how did they know that the ghost pushed him over if everybody died?
That's a great question.
Because somebody's pushing the cars over the railroad track? I don't know.
Now, how far are these railroad tracks from where you live, Ed?
Actually, within 10 miles.
Within 10 miles and you haven't investigated yet?
Well, I haven't taken a video camera, but I've been there before.
So you're gonna do a Ghost Hunters episode?
Yeah, that's kind of what I. That's why it's been taking so long. I just haven't been able to deal with somebody who has a camera, and then we could do this.
What if you brought your cell phone, and you did a Blog Talk Radio special episode from the tracks?
I don't know how long that show will last.
Could last for a while.
I know how long it'll last.
Stuff to talk about after 10 minutes.
Well, just make sure that you go right. Well, I was gonna say go before a train's coming, but that came out badly. Make sure you time it.
Mm-hmm.
So you build up the suspense.
And that way I can be on the air right when they're pushing me over the edge, over the
track. Well, no, you'll get too close to the tracks. But then you can at least say that, maybe bring like a scarecrow that you can put by the tracks. And then you go hide behind a tree and you keep us updated as to when the train's coming. And then you can report on if the scarecrow is mysteriously thrown in front of the train.
I just have this bad feeling that Ed would get really stoned and he'd remember his mother's always telling him to go into the light and it would be all over for everyone.
Yeah. Now, Ed, didn't you tell the story about how you saw a UFO and you admitted that you were stoned at the time?
Yeah, of course. People said I lost credibility when I said that, and I don't see how.
It's a great mystery. Well, Ed, now, if you go to investigate these haunted train tracks, are you going to go in a sober state, or do you plan on smoking a bunch of weed and then going out there?
Really, well, the question.
Maybe smoking a little weed before I go out there. I mean, I got to calm my nerves.
Is this an active railroad track? Do the trains still go down it? No, still using
speaking
it?
Of train
I think it is. I actually have never seen a train when I'm out there, but I'm pretty sure they're still active.
What if you went out there and then if you saw something while you were smoking the weed, then maybe you could go out there another time sober and see if you saw the same apparition?
I could do that.
What do you think about that idea?
I can try that.
Another thing that I've heard is Ed's face could make a train take a dirt road, so.
Oh, Craig, we're not making fun of people on this show.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Ed, any other mysterious phenomenon that you might have seen?
I've also seen this thing, and I was going to talk about it also, this thing called the Lachusa.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
Which is a Lachusa is a giant white owl, or it's a witch that turns into a giant white owl.
Or maybe it's just a giant white owl.
And then what happens when the witch turns into the owl?
Well, if you see the Lachusa, you have to start screaming a bunch of cuss words in Spanish at it, and that'll keep it away from you.
Hold on a second. So there's a witch that turns into a giant white owl. And to make sure that it doesn't get you, you have to cuss at it in Spanish?
Uh-huh.
That makes... Sure, it's not a brown owl.
Now,
what happens if you don't cuss at it in Spanish? Does it get you?
It gets you, but I don't actually haven't found any evidence of what it does after it gets you.
I see. So everyone just always swears at it that we know of.
Yeah, basically. When me and my buddy saw it, we were outside getting high, of course, and we heard a screech. We looked up. We saw the
man.
We looked at each other. We said, "Fuck! I think we better go inside." So then we went inside.
Yeah, you should totally go out and try to find that owl. It sounds like a hoot.
That was a good one, Craig.
There's also a third legend, or another famous legend here called the Donkey Lady.
I've heard about that. It's only in Tijuana,
really?
Though.
not that Donkey Lady. It's not that Donkey. This is some lady who was, like, burnt and disfigured, and she looks like a donkey, and she wanders around this little woods.
She looks like
bridge.
A donkey? What does that even mean? She's got a huge dong?
Like her hands and feet got burnt up and kind of like, they look like hooves now.
So how does she walk if her feet got burned off?
Well, she has, like I say, it looks like hooves now, so she walks with her fucked up hooves.
So everybody on all fours?
A bunch of times.
Hooves.
No, just on two. She walked. I don't know. I haven't seen her.
So she's supposed to be a real person, though.
Yeah, supposedly. And I've been to that bridge many, many times. But unfortunately, it turned out that the bridge that I thought was the Donkey Lady Bridge wasn't the Donkey Lady Bridge, and this other bridge down the street is the Donkey Lady Bridge.
So she is very specific about which bridge she hangs out at.
Yeah, exactly. It's right off of the street. If anyone in San Antonio wants to go, it's off Applewhite Road.
I'm wanting you to go, Ed.
I'm trying to go. It's just that, you know, my camera person is always busy on the weekends, and it's the only time we have to go. So as soon as she can get her act together, we'll go out there and do it.
I hope she's listening right now as you're telling her she needs to get her act together.
Uh-huh. No, she's definitely not listening to me.
She gave up on the program.
Pretty much. After freaking Contreras started trying to fuck everything up, I kind of like decided to downplay her involvement in the show.
I see. Probably not.
Speaking of which, regarding Vegas and the big dinner that we're having on Friday, I noticed that somebody, I'm assuming it was you or somebody on your behalf, requested that they're going to request chocolate cake for the dessert.
Yeah, me.
Well, unfortunately, Barbara doesn't like chocolate, so I'm going to have to change that, and we're probably going to have some kind of like fruity creme brulee or something.
One person doesn't like chocolate cake, and you have to change the whole menu?
I'm
calling shenanigans.
Ed is determined to make sure I never go to Vegas again.
We could just do Mania Weekend and call it a... Yeah, it's cool.
Not even. We'll be going to Vegas forever.
We'll
I mean, shit,
that.
Dude. I mean, I think we got like close to a dozen new people coming this year.
Well, that's pretty good.
Chocolate cake, don't eat fucking chocolate cake.
Yeah, why don't you ever bring your own dessert, Ed?
Yeah.
Why don't you bring your own dessert, Brian?
Because everyone wants cake!
How do you know that? You haven't taken a vote?
Everybody likes chocolate cake. Come on.
Ed, it's chocolate cake.
How many people can be at this thing and, like, one person has to, you know, be catered to?
Exactly.
Yeah, the majority rule? Yeah, what's that like, Brian?
Craig, are you coming to the lockdown show on Sunday?
Only if there's a death in the family.
Oh, Craig, what a terrible thing to say on a show where we've got depressing things to discuss.
Dude, you couldn't beat me over the head and kill me and drag me to that show.
I thought for sure you were coming to this. I thought that's what you said in your text.
Yeah, no. I was just checking to see if it was on.
You jackass. It's lockdown. It should be decent.
Uh-huh.
No, especially the way you always complain how Brian would never, ever chip in, and now you have a chance to go to his house and partake in his TV and his food. And
I haven't complained about Brian chipping in a very long time. And
not to mention I'm paying for a TNA show. That's misery enough.
Right, and it's not my job to, you know,
that's
observe.
That's okay, Craig.
TNA.
I'll get a bunch of people over here, and you'll just miss out. I'm going to call Sonny and Vinny.
Okay. And?
Find some other people. You'll see.
Call Brent.
Get a bunch of pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of your friends in Seattle, could you give us an update on Buddy Wayne? He hasn't been on the show in forever. How's Buddy doing? How's his health going?
He's doing fine. Hasn't this been discussed like 100 times?
He might be on the show next week, Ed.
Oh, boy. Could have informed me sooner.
What a troll Ed has become.
No, it's just, you know, Craig doesn't keep me informed of what he's trying to do here.
Craig's
okay, Mom. Right? I book Ed's guests for him.
I see.
Occasionally.
I see.
Occasionally.
Man, you're working for Ed?
Well, nobody else will want me to work for him, so,
How about that? Put this on your resume?
No. God, no.
But let's go back to Vegas. As far as the fight card itself, Brian, there's no, like, I mean, well, of course there's the title match between Edgar and Gray Maynard. But other than that, there's names, but other than maybe Mir and Nelson, you know, there's no, like, real super fights. What do you think of the card so far? What are you expecting from it?
I haven't even looked at the card, actually.
Shocking.
The thing with the cards is, like, people get excited because people they know are fighting. But in UFC, the fights are going to be – they're probably going to be good. You know, I really not been to a lot of shows that weren't really good. So
we went to one. We went to the GSP BJ. That fucking show sucked dick.
Yeah, but everyone was all excited about GSP and BJ, and look what happened. I mean, think about it. The last Strikeforce show, Todd and Dave were both there, and they said the best fights on the entire show were the undercard fights. And it wasn't even undercard fights like in UFC where there's, like, people you know on the undercard. It was, like, all local guys, and they had great fights. So, yeah, you can look at a card, and it's like, you know, I don't know that guy, and I don't know that guy, and... You know, those guys aren't going to talk up much of a fight, and those guys are going to be friendly. This is going to be lame. Then you go to the show, and it's, like, usually pretty damn good because Joe Silva knows how to put fights together that are pretty damn good most of the time. You know, strike out here and there, but, you know, he's going to, in general, give you a pretty damn good show. And it's obviously up to the guys as well. But I always hated that term, styles make fights. But, you know, if you pick guys that have styles that that are going to complement each other and make for an exciting fight, you're probably going to get a good fight. And Joe Silva knows how to do that.
Now, the one fight besides the title match that I'm looking forward to is the Frank Mir versus Nelson fight. What are your thoughts on that fight?
Well, I think it'll be some great interviews. I think it's going to be probably a pretty fun fight. I don't really know what to make of it. They both very good at jiu-jitsu. I don't know. Hard to say. Maybe Nelson's a little better standing. I think that one's going to be pretty fun. But let me find the goddamn card, for Christ's sake.
So, UFC.tv.
Let's see.
That's TV.
Yes.
Good God, Craig. It's 2011.
It's .tv, I swear to God.
That points to it, but it's UFC.com. I think .tv is the one that actually, you can actually stream the events.
Mm.
Edgar Maynard 3. You're right, this card does suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Brian Stan was there. They were trying to make Brian Stan against Vanderlei, but I know that who's he fighting? Santiago?
Yeah. Actually, let me look at this card here. Frank Mir and Roy Nelson could actually be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that will be a lot of fun. And Jackson and Matt Hamill, that could be a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar and Maynard, I just have no desire to see that fight again. I know that when it was
Brian
over, people
twice.
Were like, you know, this rematch is going to do better than the first. I don't think so. I really don't think, aside from, like, real hardcore fans, anyone cares about that fight at all.
Now, do you really believe that, or are you just hoping he'll be on your show and call your show boring?
No, I firmly believe that. I don't expect Gray Maynard to be on the show. Actually, I don't know.
Well,
maybe he'll be on the show.
Well, let me ask you why you thought this fight sucked, because, I mean, I thought it was a pretty exciting fight. I mean, the first round was exciting. You know, it was Edgar almost going out, and it was back and forth. And, I mean, why are you so upset about – I mean, to me, if you're going to be upset about a boring rematch, the Fitch-BJ Penn match would be kind of one to be like, why bother? But
well, that
I don't know.
Not
I thought
place. Listen, here's the thing. I watch a million fights, you know? Like, when I go to an event, I see, like, every fight. So you know, I'm going to go to Toronto, and I'm going to see 12 fights, for example. And then when I go to Vegas, there's another 12 fights. And, you know, I'm going to watch – I don't watch a lot of Bellator, but I'll watch a little bit of Bellator. I'll watch all of the fight nights. I'll watch every UFC event, watch every Strikeforce event. I mean, I see a shitload of fights. So, you know, Edgar and Maynard was, like, a good fight, but I've seen a million good fights, you know? Like, was the first fight anywhere in the neighborhood of the Nick Diaz fight on Strikeforce last weekend? No. And granted, that was one of the best fights in a long-ass time. But still, you know, there are great fights all the time. And, you know, I thought this was a good fight. I didn't think it was a great fight. I thought it was fine. You know, there was excitement here and there. But, you know, do I need to see it again? No. You know, we're going to have another countdown special with the same two guys, which is not going to be exciting, leading to a fight that's probably going to be relatively the same as the first fight. I don't expect it to be the best fight of the year. I don't even expect it to be the best fight of the month. And quite frankly, it's probably not even going to be the best fight on the show. In fact, I would almost guarantee it's not going to be the best fight on this particular show. So, you know, why should I be that excited about it?
I've already seen it twice. Right.
Well, I guess you made a good point there. I don't know. I thought the first one was good. So I'm just excited to see a title match, considering, you know, last year we kind of got screwed because last year we were supposed to see Brock against Mir, and unfortunately we didn't.
Did you say you're excited to see a title fight?
Yeah, I mean, at least it's a title fight.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, the UFC show is always secondary to the whole weekend anyway. But you said, are you going to Toronto after all now?
Am I what? Sorry, hold on. I got a text here. Hold on a minute.
I was asking
very
you're going
business
to...
here. Hold on.
Is it Dave asking you to get him a cup of coffee?
Did who?
Ed made it funny.
I want Ed to like roast me at the Vegas show, so he could just be met with silence.
I think I do a little better than the situation did at the Donald Trump roast.
Oh, shoot. Oh, God damn it. Sorry, I'm doing a little business here while we're talking. What are you talking about? I apologize for my unprofessionalism here on Blog Talk Radio.
Are you going to Toronto after all, after you've been saying you're not going for a month?
Did I say I wasn't going?
Yes.
100 times.
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
Got your passport finally?
It actually came in the mail, yeah. Like the day the government almost shut down.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good, because I've been on you to get it for a while now, so we could, you know, go up there. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Hold on. Let me talk to Craig about this. Craig, the problem is, even if I have a passport, it's still bullshit going over the border.
I understand.
I mean, it's like, I'm going to go, like, if I have to. You know, if there's, like, UFC in Vancouver, I'll go, or Toronto.
Right.
But I have no desire to ever have to go over that border again.
So what you're saying is
why don't you just talk to Ed and
he can
give you a tip on sneaking over the border.
Yeah.
Brian's Mexican, too, Katrina, but we get your joke.
He's not really Mexican. He's just in name only.
True. So we get to go see Dos Santos and Lesnar?
Do we get to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but
I've got one of them.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
You do know you're not getting a free ticket, right, Craig?
I don't care. It's Canadian money. My dollar is worth at least $1.04 Canadian. So...
Remember when we used to go to Canada and Tim would pay us in Canadian and we'd go over the border and it would be worth half?
Right.
That was no buys.
Remember the one time Tim said I did such a great job that he threw $15 Canadian on the floor and made me pick it up?
Yeah, things happen.
Why did he do that?
Because he's a prick.
Oh!
Sorry.
Tim was misunderstood.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Everybody misunderstood that guy then. So.
Now, Brian, if you just got your passport, how did you go to Canada all these other times?
You didn't need it until 9/11.
I haven't been to Canada. I can't even remember the last time I went to Canada.
Well, I'm not recently, but I mean, you wrestled there all the time back in the day.
Yeah, you just had to have your driver's license.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, I have what is called an enhanced license, and basically it's an extra $15, and they do like a quick background check and all this stuff so you can get over the border real fast. It's $15 as opposed to 100 and whatever Brian paid.
Yeah, but that only works if you drive over the border. If you fly,
right.
It's no buys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you do need a passport to do that, I understand. But
and unfortunately, I was not planning on driving to Toronto.
Well, you could drive to Minnesota and drive over.
And besides, if I were going to get an enhanced license, it's still
right.
The same amount of rigmarole as getting a passport, essentially. You know?
No, not
and,
really.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you're going to the DMV anyway, so what's the big deal?
Why would I go to the DMV if I weren't going to get my enhanced license?
Well, if you're going to the DMV to renew your license, I don't know, let's say every 4 years like you're supposed to, you just say, hey, here's $15, can you fix this?
So I should have waited until 2013 to go to Canada again?
No, I'm just saying the next time
once
you renew
I got
your
all
license.
The stuff, I got the paper online to the application, and I had my birth certificate, and then I just had to go to one office and file everything, and that was all I had to do for the passport. So essentially, it would be of the same amount of trouble going to do that it was to go get the enhanced license. And yes, I had to pay a little bit more, but now I have a passport. I can go anywhere in the world.
And you're going to do that?
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, then,
so
don't
I wanted
you
want to
take like a? Don't you want to take like a trip to Australia like pretty soon or something?
Not anytime soon.
Oh.
You know,
My turn.
You know, we were talking around. I have a couple of buddies of mine that I work with that are into UFC and whatnot, and they're really hyped on Bones Jones right now, as you know, most of the world is. And one of my coworkers brought up the statement that he thinks the best matchup for Bones Jones right now is probably Machida. What do you think about that?
The best matchup?
Yeah.
I think Bones would beat the crap out of Machida.
Think so?
I think Machida was really successful because they had an unorthodox karate style. You know?
Right.
Who expected people to be winning with karate in 2010? And he caught a lot of people off guard. And then he started putting out a bunch of tapes and DVDs of his style and his, you know, his tricks and his theory. And
right.
Next thing you know, he got his ass handed to him. So
probably because he told everybody what he was doing.
Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But I would think, I don't know. I think Jones would beat Machida. Well, let's
so
talk
Jones
about
is...
Larry Sweeney. I've got all my my anger over Blog Talk Radio out of my system, so I can approach this in a reasonable manner now.
You know, you complain about us talking over each other, but anytime you have a guest with Dave on the same line, the same thing happens constantly.
That's very true.
That's not true at all.
Oh, yes.
Dave likes to talk over people, Brian.
I know, but Blog Talk Radio, there are long... I sit here sometimes and there's like a 10-second pause and no one says anything.
That's because my co-hosts don't know how to carry a conversation. And
you're
then
the host!
Do all the work.
I was going to bring that up, but if I was a host, I would obviously do a better job.
Yeah.
Craig, you can't handle hosting the show while I'm calling our guests half the time.
That's because you give me Contreras to talk to. Love you, buddy.
Let me tell you the Larry Sweeney story here. Let me take over this show.
Yeah, please do.
Everybody knows Sinbad, right?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of him.
Sinbad is the man that promoted the Chico Alvarez-Larry Sweeney matches. And the first time I ever heard of Larry Sweeney, I had never seen him before. And so, you know, when I was told, you know, check out this Larry Sweeney, I was like, you know, I pictured like Austin Idol. You know, I pictured like this old worker that had been around forever. I mean, seriously, Larry Sweeney, you know, a 25-year-old guy chose that as his wrestling name, Larry Sweeney, actually even younger than that. Larry Sweeney was like, you know, his gimmick was he loved Piper and he loved 80s wrestling and he loved Hogan and he loved Bobby Heenan, a total primetime wrestling era guy. And somehow he managed to find, I don't know if I ever even asked him this. If I did, I forgot his answer, but I would have liked to have known, like, where in the hell did you come up with such a perfect name for a character such as yourself? You know, think of any other name of any other Ring of Honor guy. You know, would Larry Sweeney have worked out if his name was Austin Aries? Or if his name was Roderick Strong? Or if his name was Brent Albright? It's like, there was no more perfect name in all of this business than Larry Sweeney. For the man that ended up becoming Larry Sweeney. It was like a perfect name. And he had it forever. Like, I have no idea where this came from or how he was able to pick such a perfect name. But that was the perfect name for the ICW, ICWA, Texarkana television champion, Larry Sweeney. So the first time I saw him, I was like, Christ, this guy's younger than I am. Larry Sweeney? So anyway, Sinbad thought this would be... He had, like, a lot of wacky matches that he wanted to put together, and I guess he thought that, hold on a second. I'm getting these messages, and it throws me off.
You know, you could check them later.
No, these are emergencies. We've had some problems with the website. So anyway, he wanted to book all of these wacky matches, and he thought, you know, I guess you should, you guys should interview him, actually. I don't know why anyone hasn't interviewed Sinbad about this, if you want to hear more about Larry Sweeney, because he's the one that put this whole thing together. But
I'll get on it.
He thought, man, let's do Brian Alvarez and Larry Sweeney. And he was going to fly me out to Portage, Indiana to have me have a match with this Larry Sweeney. And I was like, holy shit, all right. So anyway, we went out there, and I didn't even remember. I got to go watch all those matches again because I'm going to write something about it this week. But I think the first match was like a double pin. And then the second match was at a Chikara show. It was a Chikara show. It was a show that Lince Dorado landed on his head and everyone thought he was dead. It was a horrible incident. But that was the second one. And Larry actually dropped the championship to me. And with, you know, no real guarantee that he was ever going to return, or that I was ever going to return to actually, you know, drop the title back to him. Because it's not like I was a local guy, like a local Indiana guy, and, you know, I could just come back at any time to any local show. I lived in Seattle, for God's sake. And he was totally down with this idea. Yeah, let's do this, you know, and we'll do a third match somewhere else. And then the third match ended up being the four-way with Delirious and Ruckus, which I had a great time in that match. I loved that match. And Larry won the belt back, and he was so ridiculously over on that last show. And he cut this promo, like, right before he went out to do the match. You know, he cut this promo in the back, just the most awesome Larry Sweeney promo. It was so fucking great. And one take, and it was like, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, there were like, you know, the Machine Guns were back there, for example. They were at this show. And the Sandman was back there. And, you know, there were actual names back there on this show, and Delirious, obviously, and that sort of thing. And, you know, he's cutting this promo, and, like, all the wrestlers are just standing there watching him in awe as he cuts his promo. And he cuts his fucking great promo. It's on the DVD. And he struts away like a complete madman. And as soon as the camera stopped rolling, everyone just starts cheering, like, that was the best fucking promo. And then he went out and had the match. So, anyway, he was so great, and I would have liked to have done many more matches with him. We always had, like, you know, he was old school. Like, I was worried when I went out there to, you know, as Dave said, that's hardly East Coast, Brian. But you got to realize, when you live out here in Washington, you know, anything east of the Rockies is the fucking East Coast. So, you know, it's a completely different, you know, you're going to get a... It doesn't matter if you're in the Midwest or if you're on the East Coast. You're going to get a very different audience than you're going to get in Tulalip, you know. And there was a lot of pressure on me because, like, okay, yeah, I wrestled in Tulalip, or I actually didn't even wrestle in Tulalip yet, but, you know, I did some stuff in Oregon. I did some stuff in British Columbia. I did some stuff in Tacoma. And granted, I got to work with Buddy and that sort of thing, but there's a whole different expectation when you wrestle east of the Rockies, as they say. So, you know, I was all worried and, it's like, oh, God, I hope, you know, I don't embarrass myself out there. And ended up being totally fine. He was completely old school. You know, he wanted to do wacky spots. He wanted to do headlock, drop down, you know, easy stuff like that. Just basic old school matches. And that's what we did. And it was a lot of fun. And unfortunately, you know, Sinbad's promotion sadly went under because he had a lot of other matches in mind for me. And some of them sounded, like, so ridiculously awesome, and I was so excited to do them. And then, unfortunately, the whole thing went under, and I never got to do them. But, yeah, Larry was awesome. And, unfortunately, you guys saw Larry at the bottom of the barrel when he was out there in Houston just as a complete madman. And, you know, he was, like, a complete madman, but he was still, like, the nicest madman. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He wasn't like this you know, some guys go mad, and obviously there's a lot of bad things that happen to other people. And I think with Larry, when he went mad, all the bad things happened to himself. You know, the bad things never really happened to other people. And it was, you know, it was really sad, and he would talk to you about all of these ideas, and you know, he was aware of his craziness, but, you know, he was self-aware that he was crazy, but he wasn't self-aware enough to know that, you know, I really should be back on my stuff again. You know, he thought that he was fine without it, and it was sad, but, you know, I don't even know what you would really do. You know, it's not like I could go in and get my own prescription and spike his drinks, or anybody could do that. You know, there's not really a lot you can do except try to encourage him to try to get on his stuff again. But it never happened, and it was, I don't know actually if it didn't happen in the last few years, because he just sort of disappeared from everybody's radar. And I was surprised when Hero was on the show, and it was like, when's the last time you talked to him? And he says, you know, I don't remember really. You know, it's been quite a while. And that was kind of how he was. He just, you know, we'd talk on Facebook over a period of days and then vanished. He'd be vanished forever. And then he no-showed that one show, and, you know, he had the problems with his phone, and, you know, I didn't know. Was it really a problem with the phone? Did he really? So anyway, I don't know, but it's sad.
Hey, We actually have a caller, and I'm sure this person wants to talk to you, so I'm going to put him on the line. Rey Mysterio, are you there?
Booyaka. Hey, guys, it's Alex. Hey, I just want to call in real quick. I was actually at the second Brian Larry match, and then I was going home to Mississippi because I lived in San Diego at the time, and then it just worked out to where, like, my Christmas leave period coincided with the time they were going to have that match. So what I did is I flew from San Diego to Philly, and then Finney's picked me up at the hotel I was staying at. Then I went to the show, and then I flew out the next morning. And then it was just awesome being able to see that match because, you know, Brian's a really cool guy, and obviously I enjoy his product. And then the first time I'd ever heard of Sweeney was on Brian's radio show, I believe. And he always did those incredible interviews with Brian, and then obviously it prompted me to check out more stuff. It was before he got in the Ring of Honor. And then I'd met him at the Russell Fan Fest in San Francisco. It was funny because, like, my friend was a merch guy. He sells merchandise, and we had a booth there at the Russell Fan Fest. And then he kept stopping by, Sweeney did, and picking up random DVDs and laughing at, like, different names on the back of the cover. And then I was totally, like, marking out for him the whole time, and I'd ask him, like, stupid questions, like, what's 12 large brother mean and stuff like that. And then he was just humoring me, and then, I don't know, it just I don't really have what is called a favorite wrestler, I guess, but it was crazy. I sent Hero a message. I just saw him Saturday at the CZW show, and I was wearing my Sweet and Sour shirt, and then you know, he's like, oh, that's an awesome shirt, and then, you know, I was just, yeah, I mean, like, he's probably, I guess if I had a favorite wrestler of this era, I guess it would have been Sweeney, you know. He was awesome. So yeah, that match I had in Philly, that was a, I remember it, man. It's something I always remember. And, like, I flew out there just for that match, and, man, this week sucked.
Yeah.
And
you know, the one thing
the
that
guy,
was so,
you know,
awesome about Larry was people who have been on the website for, like, the entire time, dating all the way back to the beginning, will they'll remember that, like, Austin Aries was on the show once, and he was in character for, like, wasn't even, like, the entire interview. It was, like, he was in character for parts of the interview. And people just remembered as being, like, one of the worst shows of all time. I can't believe that guy was in character and that. I would bet if I listened back, it probably wasn't that bad. But at the time, people were just appalled that this man had done this thing in character. And Larry Sweeney was, like, a guy where I think he may be the only person where he could do the entire show from start to finish completely in character, and people would like it better than if he did, like, a normal interview. That's how awesome he was.
Yeah, the bits about India, I mean, that was like, I still remember that. There are interviews that, I think I remember more of the positive interviews, I guess. I always remember the Necro interview, and I remember the Danielson interview, but the Larry interviews, especially the first one when he was going into, like, the trip to India and all the wild stuff he had done in his life, like, I don't know if that was that was legit. I mean, Hero talked about it, so I assume it's legit, but I mean, it was a crazy story, you know, and yeah, I mean,
sure
it wasn't
you, I'm pretty sure he really went to India. And the Carney stuff, I'm sure, is all legit as well. I mean, he lived a pretty wild life, you know. But I mean, you know, the in character interviews were awesome.
Yeah, those were
pretty
good.
Hey, thanks, Ed, for letting me come on. And hey, everybody.
Thanks, Alex.
No problem.
See you, man. I was just going to say that Sinbad's promotion was called Fight Sport Midwest, and I'm actually holding a DVD that Brian let me borrow a while back. Brian, I've got your DVD. It's available at Smart Mark Video, and it's called Chapter 1, And it's Fight Sport Midwest, and the main event that evening was Samoa Joe versus Eddie Kingston, but third from the top, Larry Sweeney versus Brian Alvarez.
No, Brian.
And the four-way, by the way, was on an IWC show, and I'm not sure where they sell that one, if they still do. International Wrestling Cartel, I don't know. I could probably look for it somewhere, maybe on like High Spots or something like that. But that was actually my favorite of the that was my favorite of the three. It was an elimination match.
I think I have a first copy that the
sent me. Yeah, it was an elimination match, if I recall correctly, and came down to me and Larry at the end, and he won with the 12 large elbow, brother.
They got you.
Now, he did win the title back, but did you actually take the title back with you? Because I thought you always had that title.
There may, in fact, be a championship here at the household.
You forgot the title and your trunks?
That I treasure more than ever now, in fact.
I would.
In fact, that was the picture that was on the front page. That was the actual Texarkana title.
Did you take that picture the same day?
Yes, I did.
Why did Larry never ask for the belt back?
Actually, this is it's a very long story, but
Brian forgot to take it with him.
It was a trade. Let's just put it that way.
A trade?
Oh. Yeah.
He owed you money, and he gave you the belt?
No.
Okay. All right.
Now, did he charge you to borrow his swimming trunk so you could actually wrestle in that match?
Did he charge me? He begged me to wear them.
You didn't have your trunks?
Now, seriously, Brian, how did you forget your gear that trip? I mean,
I didn't forget my gear, jackass. I left my trunks at home.
So
I had my boots. I had my knee pads. I had everything except for my trunks.
Your panties.
And in fact, because he's such a great worker, Delirious made that match. If I would have just shown up with my trunks, that match would have been probably half as entertaining as it was. You know, one of the most entertaining things about that match was that I forgot my fucking trunks and I wore swim trunks, and Delirious turned it on the fly into a part of the match, including doing a spot where he lifted me up on his shoulders for a fireman's carry, and he said, "Act like you're swimming."
That's pretty funny. That was a good match. I got that DVD. But I wanted to ask you about the first show, because there was an incident at the first show that apparently has been smoothed over, because he has been on your show a few times since then. But why was Jimmy Jacobs so pissed off at you that he had a banana in your clothes or whatever?
That never happened. He came out dressed as an ape. And he had a banana. And I had worn a sweatshirt to the ring, which I put in the corner. And for whatever reason, nobody brought it to the back afterwards. So it was just sitting there in the corner for, like, the next segment. And so Jacobs comes out with his banana. And, of course, you know, the banana ends up everywhere, including in my sweatshirt. And so I think on the show, I cut a promo on Jacobs for putting a banana in my sweatshirt. It was a total in-character thing. I didn't give a shit. But, of course, you know, people had to blow that out of proportion. And the next thing you know, Jacob
admitted
like,
it on. He admitted it on Les and Doc's show. He said that you were getting on his nerves because he said that you were coming off as you were complaining that you had to go out of your way to go wrestling. And he was kind of like, who's this dirt sheet writer back here complaining about this and that?
Well, the idea was, I had said something, and then he emailed me, and I emailed back, and essentially the idea was we were going to play this up and eventually hopefully have a match. That was the idea. And then Fight Sports Northwest or Midwest went out of business.
So Sinbad had screwed that all up.
That
worked again.
That did screw that all up, yes.
Yeah, well, I guess I have been worked a few times during there.
Yeah. And I got to head out here in a moment, but what else is up?
That's since we were just at WrestleMania, what are your thoughts on as far as meeting everybody and all the people you got to meet at the show?
It was awesome.
What do you think of that drunk German guy at the Ring of Honor show?
It was amazing.
At the Ring of Honor show, we saw him like four times that weekend. He was drunk every single time. And I had reports from other people that saw him that said he never was sober.
Hmm.
He was awesome.
He was amazing.
Yeah, that dude was pretty cool.
Hey, has anybody ever been on your show that has been more honest than Sean Waltman this week?
I'm sure if you look back, there have been shows with, like, Buddy and Conan and, you know, different way, but Dave can't help but be honest. And there have been, you know, there have been a lot of guys that have if you go through the archives, you'll find plenty of people. The Sean Waltman one sticks out because it happened this week. But, you know, you go back and look at some of the first times that a lot of people were on the show. And, you know, Conan is going to speak his mind, believe me.
Yeah.
Bruno, for being an old guy, was pretty honest.
Yeah, Bruno's always, he can't help himself but be honest.
Well, he didn't, I mean, Waltman had no problems talking about all his demons and suicide. I mean, that interview was just awesome. And, you know, I texted you after I listened to the thing, and it gave me chills, man, just how honest he was and, you know, talking openly about just everything. I just I really enjoyed that interview. You did a really good job on that. And
well, it was mostly him.
It's too bad he hasn't been on our show, Craig.
He got busted for pot the last time he was going to be on our show, and then it slipped his mind, okay? Just leave me alone.
Cornette hasn't been on the show either, Ed.
Did you hear that, Ed? Busted for pot!
At the airport.
Well, they've never caught me at the airport, so luckily.
Well,
anyway,
Ed!
Brian, I guess we'll be seeing you in about, 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, I'll be there in 5 or 6 weeks for an awesome time in Vegas. If you're not going, you're missing out. So plan on going next year or to, I don't know. I don't want to change the Vegas weekend because it's kind of a tradition now. But, you know, it is kind of odd to be doing April and May big get-togethers,
I know.
You know? It would
yeah,
be better if they were stretched out 6 months in between, but I don't think I'm going to be able to convince WWE to change the date of WrestleMania, although you never know. And I think, you know, May is a good time in Vegas. I guess, I don't know, maybe end of August would be fun or something like that. Maybe we'll one day have to, I don't know, change the Vegas convention date. I guess they do, like, the first weekend of July is pretty much tradition now, so that's at least a little farther away. But we'll keep it how it is for now and, you know, gives people a whole year to save up for 2 straight months.
Yeah, but they are too close. I mean, that should just kick you my ass, sure.
Yeah.
But should be a good time. It should be a good time. I think we've sold 46 out of the 50 seats for dinner. So
awesome.
Looking like we're going to have a good crowd. We just need to get
I will say,
leader.
I you know, I like this idea better because of the disaster that happened at the steakhouse. But at the same time, I don't know. The idea of the closed dinner is kind of like, because you know there's going to be people that are going to show up, and it's going to be a last-minute deal for them, and they'll find a way to get out there, and they're going to want to have dinner with us, and now they can't, and that's kind of sad. So I don't know if there's, I don't know. I mean, I guess they've been given plenty of warning, but at the same time, more and more people show up, I don't know how we're going to do this, but, you know, it would be best if there was an option where no matter who you were, if you showed up, you'd still be able to partake. But we'll figure it out for next year.
Yeah, it should be a good time. And then we got the suite that same night, too, so that'll be a cool party. And are you staying for Peach's wedding?
I think so, yeah. I haven't got
Sunday.
Tickets yet, so.
Okay. Cool. So you usually leave on Sunday.
Yeah. So, that's all from here, all.
Cool, man. I'll work on getting those reports for you for the After Dark thing.
Okay, cool. There's a new one up right now, everybody. BrianAlvarez.com. New After Dark with me and Carl, so go check it out. Right now, this exact moment, in fact. No, wait till Ed's show's over. And then we'll have another one next week with a guest, Scooping Ed, talking about ghosts. So that's hopefully going to be coming up next week. So check it out, all.
Okay.
See you, Brian.
Bye.
All right, adios.
So, oh, wow, right up, we got another caller on the line as soon as he hung up here, so...
Oh, he's
going to
be upset.
I'll go ahead and put him on the line. Caller calling from area code 859. Who's this?
What's up, everybody?
What's going on? Who's this?
It's Killer Kev.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was Killer Kev. What was it?
I come in, even bring in improved intro music for me so I can be easily identified, and nobody cares. Fail.
Yeah, Kev, I'm kind of sorry, but that was kind of a fail. What's going on, man?
Oh, well, what can I do? It's a hard economy. I try. Nice interview.
What's happening?
By the way.
Oh, cool.
Very, very
cool.
Excellent. If you don't mind me taking just a second here, I just wanted to plug some awesome things happening on Angry Marks this week.
Oh, go ahead, bro.
Cool. Well, if you didn't catch it, we did a couple great interviews. And by the way, thanks, shouts out to Brian Alvarez and Figure Four for the plugs that they did for us as well. Definitely appreciate that. Last night we had Matt Riviera on the show. Do you guys remember Matt Riviera?
No.
No, not Matt Riviera, independent wrestler and former VH1 celebrity star. Do you remember that reality program several years ago where they brought on a bunch of guys and one of them was a pro wrestler and he was like completely in character?
No.
That's okay. It's probably not ringing a bell because they like canceled the show after 4 weeks because one of the guys who was participating on the show was arrested.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember this. In fact, this happened really close to my. It happened in my state, as a matter of fact. He killed his ex-girlfriend, cut her up, and put her in a dumpster. And he ended up confessing the thing and got caught up in Vancouver, B.C. in a hotel room. And he was on, I can't remember the name of the reality show, but it was one of the broads from Rock of Love. And,
New York or something?
Was
it
No.
I can't remember the broad's name, but
and the show was called Megan Wants a Millionaire.
That's very Megan.
So they brought in all these pretenders, and it just so happened that Matt Riviera happens to play this character who plays off as a millionaire. So they brought him on, and they let him cut his promos and everything. And so he did very well for a little while after that, but he's been plying his works in the independents in the South for a couple of years since that now. And we had him on the show, and great interview. Sometimes you wonder if you're going to get a really great interview after from somebody that you've not heard of in a while. Tell you what, this guy is sharp as a tack. He had a lot of opinions about not only the show when he was on it, about what he's been doing in professional wrestling. Had a lot of things to say about TNA wrestling, not flattering for most of it. And
no shit. Oh,
kind of like a no shit moment there. But it was great. And then right after that, we had one of the participants in this weekend's King of Trios call in, Sugar Dunkerton. Had a great interview with him.
Sweet.
And completely unexpected with this one as well. We did talk a lot about pro wrestling and a lot about the tournament. Spent a lot more time than what I thought we would talking Transformers and Mega Man.
Well, damn,
awesome.
Now I think I want to actually listen to the show.
Yeah, completely marked out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was Thursday night AMP, so that completely great. It was just great. And then Tuesday on Ring the Bell, we had two more participants from the King of Trios tournament call in. We had Yakov Hammermimer. God dang it, I cannot pronounce this guy's name. I am so embarrassed by that. Yakov Hammermimer from the BDK. And he completely busted my balls on the air for screwing up his name like a billion times, and I don't blame him either. But great, interesting interview with his thoughts going into the King of Trios tournament. And then we also had another great gentleman on the show with us as well to talk about his involvement in the team. For some reason, I'm wanting to keep saying TP. I don't know why I have Ted Petty Invitational on my mind this week. I have no idea. It's killing me. So I have to keep reminding myself that it's not TPI. It's King of Trios this weekend happening for Chikara. Back on my point, Bryce Remsburg, who's one of the officials with Chikara, came in, talked a lot about the tournament, and also talked a lot about some memories with Larry Sweeney as well. So we've had several great interviews on Angry Mark's podcast network this week. So, you know, if you've not tuned in to check out the rest of the shows on the network, please do. We've gotten a lot of attention this week. For some reason, our hits are up, 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 and we couldn't be happier.
Everybody wants to hear my WrestleMania shows.
You know what?
Yeah,
that's it. Golly, you know what, Ed? You are now Mr. WrestleMania. I'm declaring it now. Mr. WrestleMania podcast. There we go. Because I tell you what, give this man a microphone and a recorder, and he'll whip out a quality podcast.
Well, he'll whip out a podcast, let's be honest.
I think you're like the only person that denies that how awesome I am, Craig. You need to get with the program.
Mm-hmm. I'll deny.
Nobody cares what you have to say. But
I shut this fucker down.
We'll just go to Skype. But anyway, do you have anything else, Kevin?
Yeah, we got room for you. Matter of fact, hang on. Let me load up the audio player. We'll be ready to go in 5 minutes.
Cool. So, man, thanks for calling me, Kev.
No problem. Have a good rest of the show, guys.
Cool, man. Thanks.
I just wanted to say there is an amazing show going on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, April 16th, it's ICW. And
What is ICW?
International Championship Wrestling. I'm thinking it's in Rocky Grove, Franklin, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Check out this lineup. Jerry the King Lawler versus Salvador Sincere. We got a special appearance by Sonny. We got the Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express.
Jesus Christ.
In a battle of the geriatrics. And the Bravado Brothers against the IWC Tag Team Champions, Flippin' Ain't Easy. And this match, which I must see, Val Venus versus Rhett Titus.
Yeah,
so
but they're anywhere. Rhett's not really doing the stripper gimmick anymore. I mean,
he will tomorrow. Really have got to see this show. This looks like an amazing show. So if you're anywhere in close to Franklin, Pennsylvania, go check out IWC Pro Wrestling and give us a report, because that looks like a heck of a show.
What's IWC?
You make fun of the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express, but let's be honest, that match is going to be 10 times better than every other match on that card.
Oh, yeah. I know. I am saying it very tongue-in-cheek. That is going to be an awesome match.
Ricky Morton could come out with a freaking walker and oxygen and still pull out a better match than 90% of all the indie guys out there.
Well, I should have seen the promos on YouTube from him, and he definitely looked like – I mean, he still has that hair at his age. I mean, he just looks horrible.
He's phenomenal. One of my favorite angles when I was growing up is the horsemen come in, attack Ricky Morton. They bust him up real good, and they hold him face down on the mat while Ric Flair comes off the top rope and with a knee to the back of the head. And then Ricky
wears a face mask.
He ends up wearing the face mask for, you know, a month and a half afterwards. Just phenomenal. and that's one of my favorite angles that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But we're down to our last 15 minutes, so I guess we should talk about anything important that we haven't even got to. So,
I
want to
talk about how horrible a television champion Brian Alvarez was. I never seen him once on TV since his title.
Yeah, I don't think he ever defended it on TV either. He might have
defended it for him.
Well, if your co-host would have been a better promoter, you know, they'd still be running shows, and maybe you know, we would have seen Brian Alvarez defend the title.
He had TV. He's just running a fucking show.
I actually think while the fire is hot, we should get Sinbad on this show, maybe even next week.
Why? I'm still pissed off at him.
I don't know how to get in touch with him.
Okay, Ed, you stay off the show, and me and Cotrere and Sinbad will do a show next week. How about that?
That'll be the worst show ever.
I think it might be the best show ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why you think the show isn't any good, Craig. We're awesome.
I just want the quality to be real, Ed. I really do. Can't we do
the
Skype
quality
or something?
Well, I think all the other shows on Angry Marks have switched over to Skype, so I'm letting them work out all the bugs and figure everything out. And once I know that shit's running pretty good, then I guess we can switch over to Skype, but...
For now,
it's easier just doing it this way.
One of my favorite things when I was a kid, one of the things I wanted to do when I was a kid, I wanted to, A, host a radio show, and B, be a professional wrestler. So I've come halfway on both of those things. I just want the show to be better. Is that a horrible thing to ask?
The show's fine, Craig. Trust me. The show is fine.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about anything other than Brian Alvarez not defending the TV title?
No, I just wanted to say he's a terrible champion. If Tully Blanchard was dead, he'd be rolling over in his grave.
But he's not.
Thank God.
That was a great
interview.
Let's
talk real quick about Edge retiring this week. We didn't talk about that at all.
Okay, who else thought it was a fucking angle the whole time? Because the whole interview, I'm waiting for freaking Del Rio to attack him. And then I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on after the commercial. And then they come back from commercial, and then they're in the back, and everyone's in line, and it's screaming in my head, angle, angle, angle. He's going to get attacked right there. And no, he didn't.
And then he didn't.
And then it's like, is this for real? And then apparently
and
it is. But who else thought it was an angle?
I honestly did not, because, you know, I just knew something. So, anyway.
I thought it was weird he's on Raw in the first place, so.
True.
He's been on Raw almost every week.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. The whole belt of WrestleMania, he's been on Raw fucking shitloads of times.
Hey, I hate to rip the scab off of this, but I noticed we didn't get a phone call from area code 210 tonight.
Well, I never got back with him and told him that the show was later, so who knows, he may have tried and called earlier. But would you like to discuss the situation?
That they're just gonna get his ass kicked to WrestleMania next year.
He might be, unfortunately. I mean,
I'm going to WrestleMania just for the fights outside, you know, at the gatherings. I'm not going for WrestleMania. I'm just going for the fights.
Yeah, he's lucky he hasn't ran into Jerry Lynn last year or this year. But eventually,
I read that
through somebody else.
The man that shall be left nameless really dug his own grave this week, and I was thrown into the fray of siding with him. And nothing could be further from the truth, by the way. Didn't side with the man. I just understood why he was upset. Wait a minute. I won't say I understood why he was upset. I know why he was upset. So with all of that said, the man that shall be left nameless in this podcast. You, sir, showed your ass this week, and I hope people don't clubber you next year at WrestleMania if you show your face. That's all. I ain't mad at you. I ain't upset. I just don't get it.
It's like I was having a conversation with one of the other board members over there and talking about this person, and he looked at me and he says he was it sounds like he has, and I'm probably saying this wrong, but he says that he has Asperger's.
Yep, that's the way it's called.
Okay. So basically, this guy, he's a smart person. He's a smart person. And he's actually not that bad. I talk to him plenty of times. I mean, but he does have. I don't know. He's like a living troll in a way. As far as he doesn't mind getting under people's skins, you know. But he's totally unaware of what people don't like to do.
Right.
I've
never met a person that's more unaware of people's body language and disgust, just totally unaware of his surroundings and unaware of how people are taking the things that he's saying. Know what I mean?
Okay. Well, the thing that kind of got on my nerves about the thread is, and I've talked to him about the Larry Sweeney thing before because he's brought it up before about him never paying him back for his tickets, but he kept bringing about Larry being a carny, and he kept insulting, like, carnies and, you know, talking about wrestlers are carnies and this and that. Well, my question to him is, what's the fucking difference between a carny and somebody who brings a bag full of hard drives with every ROH show, every ROH match, and not just ROH, I'm talking about, fucking thousands and thousands of matches to either sell or give away to people at WrestleMania for either rides or to sell or whatever. I mean, that sounds pretty fucking carny to me.
I don't say. Wrong place, wrong time.
When someone passes away, whatever problems you have, they're over. Who cares anymore?
Right.
I mean, really.
Right. I'm sure Larry owed his credit card people. I'm sure he owed some rent. I'm sure he owed quite a few things. That's what happens when people pass away.
I told him that fucking day. I go, dude, don't think you're going to get your money back. You might want to talk to Brian and have Brian reimburse you in case he doesn't, because Brian's the one that asked you to do this. So,
well,
I mean,
number one, Brian did tell him to, and I heard this with my own two ears, Brian told him, if something happens, let me know. And I know Brian, and Brian probably would have helped him out. So, what the heck?
You know, I guess he was just waiting for Larry to do it on his own. And, like, I guess somehow Larry's still going to remember his phone number or address after all this time. But another thing I was going to kind of bring up about that whole thing is, actually, I kind of lost my train of thought because I got a text here. I'm pulling a Brian here on the show. But I don't know. I don't hate the kid. He's all right. He gets on my nerves because he won't shut the fuck up about this fucking screenplay that he's writing about some UFC fighter versus the Ultimate Marine, and the dude goes on and on and on about that. That gets on my fucking nerves. But other than that, I mean, he's not that bad. But I mean, you know, there's a time and a place, and in an art. You know, Rest in Peace thread is not the place to bring up shit that you could have easily remedied on your own months or years ago.
There always has to be one guy in like a thread like that that has to say something nasty. Always. You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're right. But, yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, people just are like that. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty fucked up. I mean, you know, if you have disagreements, make your own thread. Why you gotta piss off, you know, everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, he he rattled some cages, and I was rattled to be thrown into the fray as backing the guy. So, you know, if I came off like that, I'm going to say right now, I apologize, because that wasn't my intention. I wasn't backing the guy. I just know why he was upset, because of the ticket incident. So, you know, hey. Everybody's different. Everybody has times of lapse of judgment. I get it. But have a little bit more tact and a little bit more respect.
It works like Brian's board, where you have like some of the foulest people around and they get offended. You know?
Right. Right.
One of the things that confuses me about the kid is, you know, I got on the plane with the kid. You know, I sat with him on the way to WrestleMania. And I was sitting, I got to my seat first. He started to put his bag that was full of his flat screen monitor and his hard drives and his speakers. And basically, he brought all that stuff because he didn't believe the website had a flat screen TV in his room. So, but anyway, he hands me, he goes, "This is the most important thing I brought. Could you please hold it for 1 second while I put my bag up?" He hands me a Bible. And I know he's religious because he's always talked about, like, in Houston, he told me he was going to try and find a church on Sunday. And so it's like, how can somebody who's that religious be so contradictory and be such a jackass about somebody who died? I mean, if anyone should be turning the cheek, it should be him of all people.
I only became religious because Shawn Michaels did. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're not religious at all.
Yeah. Anyway, we got 2 minutes left, so real quick, let me get out the plugs. Everybody check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows, like the two that Kev was advertising earlier. And, Katrina, go ahead and do your plug if you still have one.
If I still have one. Pro Wrestling Flashback will be coming back this Thursday. We didn't have a show this past week because Sinbad was moving, so he couldn't do the show. And he's got a landline now at home, so he won't be cutting out on the show anymore. And I'll see if we can't book him for something, if he has time.
And I have a plug as well, actually. Everybody, tomorrow...
Oh, the show comes
record
on his network, blogtalkradio.com/Couture. Sorry.
Sorry about that. I actually have a plug for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a record store day. So if you're in the habit of buying CDs and records and vinyl and things like that, go out to your local record store. There's a bunch of bands that are putting out great music. The Foo Fighters are putting out a CD and vinyl of all covers. And Nirvana's putting out a re-released thing. Bruce Springsteen, there's just a ton of stuff. Go out and support your local record store because they're fading fast.
Well, since you brought up record stores, if you're in San Antonio or in South Texas, go to Flipside Records. It's still on Southwest Military Drive. It's just moved down a block or two. So check out the most famous record store in San Antonio.
And check out the most famous one in Seattle, Easy Street Records. They're so famous that a little old band called Pearl Jam did a free and intimate and surprise show there about 3 years ago.
And if you can't make it to the record stores, everybody go to isohunt.com for some torrents of some great music. And that's where I get my music, and it's always a good time.
Good so, God.
Excellent.
I hate you.
Well, cool. Well, I guess we'll be back next week, and I guess you said you're working on Buddy?
I've been in contact with Mr. Wayne a few times
in the last week, and I think I can get him on the show next week. Apparently Sinbad's all booked up for next week, so we won't have him on. I've got some things in the works, but I'm not going to shoot myself in the foot by telling everybody what they are, because every time I say who I'm trying to get on the show, they disappear forever. So.
All right, well, keep that in mind every time you start to book somebody. And
yeah.
Craig, were you as scared as I was that Sinbad was going to pull down his pants and just start jizzing everywhere when Cody Rhodes won?
I won't say I was scared of that. What I was scared of is when we met Sinbad at the dinner before our first ROH show, I had threatened to hug him. And it was a threat, but Sinbad said, "Craig, can we get a hug?" And I'm like, "You bet." So I went over there and hugged him. Said, "Hey, man, it's good to see you." And then he said, "Hey, Craig, you smell really good." And that frightened me a little bit, to be honest with you.
I heard he had to sneak a hug in on Ed.
Yeah, he did, that bastard.
Did he tell you you smelled good, though? I mean, that's kind of, you know.
No, he didn't tell me that. So luckily, he likes you more than me. So, but on that note, we'll go ahead and end the show, and we'll talk to everybody next week.